Welcome, this is Amy Suzaria, your Pinay poet, here on Setting the Standard on KPFA 94.1 FM. And in the studio with me this evening, I have Monica Anderson, aka Kinfolks. And Monica does many things. To her credit, she is a pro-activist parent, community member, strategist, and author. She's, as I mentioned, known as Kinfolks, which is a moniker she acquired in her youth that echoes her belief that we're all kindred spirits having a human experience. For Monica, this truth translates into the creation, production, and curation of empowering community opportunities for sustainable individual and collective wellness and socio-political transformation. Powerful statement there. Her community wellness work has extended beyond the U.S. to include international projects in Jamaica, Japan, Puerto Rico, and South Africa. And in the Bay Area, beginning in December, she and Shalonda Ingram, who is a technical director and strategist of NERSHA Project, will be co-producing Spectrum, the Bay Area's first weekly queer Sunday matinee at the New Parkway Theater. And she's going to be talking about that as well, because she'll be they'll be screening Bully as well as for the opening on December 16th. And the following will be Mosquita y Mari. So thank you so much for being in the studio with me, Monica.
Thank you. I give thanks for the opportunity to just sit with you.
Yay. Well, you come close. Okay. All right, I'll say that again. Thank you so much for being in the studio with me, Monica.
Thank you. I give thanks to you, dear, for just sitting here and having this conversation with me.
Great. So I'm going to start with, as you know, the theme of this program is queering the stage and the page.
Yes.
And I wanted to just open it up to you and what that means to you, queering the stage and the page, and how your work might address that.
That's beautiful. I didn't know that I was queer, really. I didn't. And that's really the centerpiece of my work. Because we're all queer. Everyone is an individual with some sort of idiosyncrasy that makes them special, that helps them to be able to look at situations differently. And as a community, we need that. We need to have multiple perspectives, because the sustainability of who we are collectively is going to be enriched by that. So when I think about queering the page, I think about this concept of the nomo, which is really important to me. And you see it in a lot of other faith beliefs or cosmological beliefs. I come from an African-centric cosmological belief. And the nomo is literally the power of the word to create. Mm. It's the creative urge. And so it's akin to, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and blah, blah, blah. Mm. That creates this opportunity for us through the definition of word, through the perspective and the understanding of words, to open up a dialogue. I'm always intrigued by what queer looks like to folks. I'm a omni, poly, queer mama, and a lot of the folks that I encounter who don't consider themselves quite queer are very queer to me. So when I write, the majority of my writing is, of course, primarily from my own perspective, because that's the most authentic perspective. That's the one I know. However, I'm deeply interested in looking at the cross-sections, you know, these intersections of queerness between people who wouldn't necessarily think of themselves as having that overlap. Mm. So that's how a lot of building of community happens for me, actually.
Hmm. Great. So you kind of addressed the identity piece, which was going to be next. But I want to see if I think that you utilize the word queer. And I had a conversation with Tao, who's also on this program, this segment,
yes,
about what that word means. It brings up a lot for different people. So maybe you could just a little bit more go into what that means to you and just elaborate a little bit more on it.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that queerness for me, as I reflect and emanate queerness, looks very much like normalcy to me, you know? And I think it's important for us to recapture the beauty of that word, And I know for some folks, that word was riddled with a lot of pain. And for me, the word really is extremely empowering. And I believe that it's empowering because it takes into account not just the L, the G, the B, the T, the I, the A. It also takes into account people who are commonly known as straight or heterosexual, who are doing things that are just out of the norm, out of the norm. For example, with the book, Letters to My Bully, there are these incredible stories of survival and the entire spectrum in terms of sexual expression is exhibited in the book. But we're all queer. You know, there was something about each of us that for some reason someone felt was special enough to discuss over and over and over again ad nauseum, and to also attempt to make us feel as if that special quality wasn't important in the context of the universe. And so this book really gives us an opportunity to own that, to own queerness, and to be proud of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that this is a perfect segue into talking about the anthology and your contribution. And I think I just want to bring back a quote that I brought up earlier by Rumi about creating our own myth and unfolding our own myths. Mm. And I think that when there's literature that is creating space and allowing voices to be heard that have not before, mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. part of that process of
visibility.
Yes. Oof. Yes. So let's talk a little bit about that, the anthology. So just a brief description here, Letters to My Bully, which was edited by Azan Kamau and Ifilade Tashia Asante, is a collection of pieces written by bully survivors of all ages. And it was published by Glover Lane Press.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your contribution to it and what it was like to become a part of this anthology.
Well, it was an honor to be asked at all, because a lot of the voices that are reflected in this book, speaking once again to this notion of visibility, or voices that you don't typically hear, like in the context of the conversation about bullying, a lot of it was focused on a very particular age group. But of course, little bullies oftentimes become big bullies. And this concept of what bullying looks like from our perspective now, many years later, was just as compelling as speaking to some of the youngest artists, who were in this book, who share their reality that happened, 2 months ago. Mm. Whereas we're reflecting, perhaps for some of us, 2 months ago, at work. There's a lot of bullying that exists on a national and international level, an individual level. And what this book offered us, all of us, was a chance to give little pieces of consideration, like to just put it in someone's mind that maybe it doesn't look like this is hurting somebody else, but think about that seed, that tiny seed that you're planting. You could be planting something else, Mm-hmm. So that's why it was exciting and an honor for me, because my perspective as, a sister who is quite out and quite queer, I produce the Oakland Pride stages. This is my third year. I work with San Francisco Pride as well on the solo Pride stage. And I've always felt that visibility was of the utmost importance. And the discussion of bullying within our community is a difficult one, because we know that we're marginalized and demonized as it is. And then for us to turn that inward on each other is a difficult conversation. But internalized homophobia, all of the ways in which we try to heal ourselves can act itself out in ways that are destructive. So I was happy to be able to contribute a different perspective on domestic violence and to open up that conversation as we start looking at marriage equality and what marriage looks like and what it takes for people to really form relationships. I felt that it was equally important to take a look at how to love yourself. So, long answer, short question.
No, that's wonderful. So we got a better sense of the importance of this anthology, which there was also an article that came out in the Huffington Post about this recently.
That was a blessing. Yeah. That was we didn't expect anything from this other than the opportunity to give voice and visibility to the way in which bullying has affected us, each of us individually. So when we received an email that the Huffington Post had given us a little head nod, that for many of us felt like a confirmation, like somebody out there really is listening, you know? For me, though, just giving voice and vision to it is enough. Sooner or later, someone will hear it. That's how I feel, you know? But this was indeed an accolade.
Great, great. So there's an event that's coming up. So tell us a little bit about the event.
Yes, this is groundbreaking, actually. Speaking of giving voice and vision to our experience as queer folks, the good folks over at the New Parkway Theater engaged in a conversation with my partner, Shalonda Ingram, and I about what we might like to see at the theater upon its opening. And we started some conversations several months ago about having a queer Sunday cinema. Like, it would be nice to 3 o'clock in the afternoon traipse over to the theater and see ourselves reflected in a myriad ways. I mean, we're so different, you know, and our messages are equally important. And so to be able to see that transform us every week is amazing. So Shalonda, who is my partner and is working annually over in East Africa, just returned from Mombasa and was doing some work over there, some powerful work, and will be working with me to really focus on international films as well. Because when we think about our queer experience in the States, we forget that being queer somewhere else has a completely different reality. Mm-hmm. And so this is more than just a conversation about what our experience looks like from this perspective. It also will open up these voices from places that we probably don't typically think of.
So the we're going to be hearing some of your work and your contribution to the anthology in a moment. But since we're on the event, let's just get the details out there because it's it's coming out December.
It's coming 16th. Up very quickly. The theater opens in December, which is just a few days from now, and our first film will be Bully. Oh my goodness! It just seemed like the film has been seen by folks. And what we felt would be important to do with the film is open up a conversation. So we launched Spectrum, which is the name of the weekly film series, but we also launched Spectrum Queer Media Discussions or Conversations. And that will give us an opportunity immediately following the screenings, which will be curated, to open up a dialogue around strategies as well as just information sharing. Mm. And that's December 16th, Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
The following Sunday at 3 o'clock, the 23rd, we will be screening Mosquita, Imari. And for anyone who doesn't know anything about the film or hasn't seen it, it's a powerful film about two Chicana sisters who have discovered that love makes sense for them, and how the senselessness of others around them impact them, and the importance of staying true to yourself. So that's a film that I'm hoping a lot of folks will come to as well. And immediately after that, we're following up with Fabulous, because it will be the 30th. It's going to be so close to the beginning of a new year, and we are fabulous. Fabulous is a review taking a look at the history and the her story and the heritage of queer film through the decades.
Great, great. So we'll keep an eye out for that. And the Parkway Theater is over there on, do we know the address of the Parkway?
You know, I do know the address. I'm thankful that you asked right after I looked it up. Let's see. It is 474 24th Street, right near Telegraph and 24th.
Okay.
Oh, and I also wanted to mention that on First Fridays, we also will be curating a piece every First Friday, taking a look at art, fashion, videos, filmmakers. And so when folks are traipsing from stage to stage and enjoying First Friday, we encourage them during these cooler months to come inside and enjoy a film.
Wonderful. A lot of things to look forward to here in the Bay Area. So let's go ahead and hear your work.
Excellent. So this is actually the latter part, the last part of a three-part piece in the anthology. And this part is entitled The Finale, Killing Spirit, Metamorph, Morpha, Silicone Slick, Sick, Stick, Making Metaphor, Metamorph, and Stick, Molasses Thick, Valentine Vacant. We recall our days of torment at the hands of bullies in schoolyards and bus stops, now boardrooms. We lick our wounds in our wonderland of shredded love and tether ourselves to the sad old distraught therapy. We purge upon one another, one to one, ominous, omnious, becoming the bully in bed, transitioning, regurgitating a deep pain of a thousand love lashes of condemnation and distress. Womb weary, we kneel at the base of each other's altars, and we crisscross our hearts in a flutter of hope to fly.
Mm, wonderful. So we'll keep an eye out for the entire, all three parts.
Yes, you have to hear all three parts so yes. You can build toward the resolution, which is always healing.
Mm. Thank you so much for being with me in the studio, Monica.
Thank you.
And again, we'll keep an eye out for the event. Is there any websites or any contact that you want to throw out there real quick?
Yes, I believe that the best way to get the information is either through Kinfolks, and that would be our Kinfolks, that's OURKINFOLKZ.com, or NurseaProject.com, and you can find us on Facebook. And the event is public on Facebook, so it's really easy to get to. There was one other site I wanted to mention, and that's Sankofa Events. That's SANKOFAEVENTS.com.
All right, wonderful. Thank you so much, Monica, Kinfolks. And this, is, again, has been Amy Suzara, Panay Poet, here on Setting
Thank
the Standard,
you.
KPFA 94.1 FM.